You're listening to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Erica Russo, psychic medium and intuitive development coach. This show is all about giving you the conversations, tools, and wisdom you need to live life the intuitive way. Whether you are waking up, wanting to develop your intuition and connection to spirit, or wanting to live a more magical life, I got you covered. I give you grounded, practical, and insightful content that helps you wake up, level up, and connect with your soul. I'm excited you're here. Let's wake up together. Hey guys, welcome to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I'm really excited that you are here. If you are an OG and you keep coming back, you keep learning, growing, listening, expanding, learning to trust your intuition, stepping into that next level version of yourself, I fucking love you. Thank you so much for being you. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate every single one of you. You guys are helping my dreams come true. If this podcast is helping you, if you feel called, if it's giving you some guidance, some reassurance, some tips, some tools that are helping you along your journey, if you can head on over to iTunes and write a 5-star review, I would really appreciate it. Those reviews allow me to get this podcast to the ears that need to hear it. And I think that we can all agree now more than ever, these conversations can really bring some peace and clarity into people's minds. Before you click submit, make sure you take a screenshot or a photo and send it to me at hello@ericarusso.co, no M, and I'm going to send you something. I don't know what it's going to be, but I just made a lot of new guided meditations and subliminals, so I'll probably just send you one of those. Again, I'm really grateful for all of your support. I love you guys. I was just thinking about it, and I realized that next month, this podcast is going to be 3 years old. Like, holy crap. Holy crap. It's a toddler, man. It's a toddler. I just can't get over that. It feels like just yesterday I was grabbing our 5-gallon crystal rock container that we fill up with coins and just dumping it on my coffee table and getting enough money to buy a $44 microphone. Oh, I'm getting a little emotional here. So I'm just kind of, you know, I'm kind of in my feels, and I appreciate every single one of you for being along this journey with me and tuning in. You know, even if we've never connected, even if we've never spoken, know that I really am grateful for your energy and for your kindness and for the downloads. You guys are awesome, and, you know, just keep doing you. So with that being said, I wanted to let you guys know that I have 2 spots left in the beta program of my Mystic Mind experience. This is my life's work all put in one program. It is a 12-month experience. You're going to get at least 3 coaching programs with me, one-on-one access each month with me, access to masterminds each month, all of my weekend workshops, just everything, a 1-year subscription to the Intuitive Life Society. It's just incredible. I'm really, really proud of it. And if this feels like this is the next step for you, if you are ready to take a quantum leap in your growth, in your business, in your life, in your mediumship, in your psychic development, whatever it is, I would love to hold space for you. I would love to create a place where you can grow and learn and trust your intuition and just step into that next level version of yourself. This is a very small container of women that are just so fucking incredible. And I would love to have you if this feels called. The beta pricing will end on November 12th, so be sure to head on over to ericarusso.co and put in an application if your intuition is screaming hell yes on being part of the Mystic Mind experience. So with that being said, This is November's Intention Kitchen episode. I hang out with my dear friend Meg Vanderkruik, and we talk all about the theme of gratitude for November. Sounds about right, right? You know, because we're in the month of gratitude and Thanksgiving and all that stuff, and it's always a great conversation with her. And it's really amazing. If you are a visual learner, guys, you can head on over to her website or her YouTube, because she has the video version up there for you if you are interested in that. But I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I always enjoy connecting with Meg. It's always a great conversation. And I look forward to seeing you guys soon. Have a great week.
Hi, guys. Welcome to November 2021. That's how nuts this year has been. I'm like, wait, are we still in 2020? Yeah, no, we're in 2021. Intention Kitchen with Meg Kitchen. And Erica.
Episode two. Yes.
I'm so pumped. It's November.
It's November, and I'm really excited. Like, yes, 2021 has been hard, but we're closing it out. It's coming to an end. So I think we all have a little hope looking forward to 2022. And I think that it's like a good time to look back and, you know, think about, there were some good things that happened this year. There were some good things, I think, for everybody in their life, if you stop and you think about it. Like, even amongst all the chaos of 2020 and 2021, I bet there were a few things you could pick out at the end of, at November, this point of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of good things that came out of 2021. It's definitely been the calm after the storm, but yeah, there was still a storm.
Rocky waters.
A little bit, just a little bit, you know.
I mean, I think, you know, it's I don't think it's ever happened before where we've all shared the same stormy sea in our life. So to speak. I mean, we all experience it in very different ways. You know, I have a family member who actually lost someone this week to COVID, and that was very close to home for us. And it just kind of, I mean, it was really hard. And it was also really hard for me to realize that this has been the new norm. Yeah. Like, that was like my thing. It's like, oh, okay, you know, moving forward. But I think, like, when I really stop and think about it, and I think about, you know, that person is no longer with us, or you know, whatever has happened politically or whatever over the course of the last 2 years, I still can come back to. I've made some really incredible relationships with people. Yeah. And I've really gotten to know myself a lot better. And I've actually, the first time in my life, been able to draw some very clear boundaries. Like, time spent, you know, in this kind of weird altered state of reality has kind of forced us to have some introspection, I think. And I'm actually, like, sitting here in November of 2021, looking into 2022, I'm not the same person.
No.
I was definitely not 2 years ago, but even a year ago, I'm a completely different person. And I think for the first time in my life, I can really see and mark, like, the growth, like the markable growth, and go, I have really done some work here. This time, albeit horrible, has allowed me to do some personal work here. And that's fulfilled my life in ways and my relationships that I didn't even see coming. So,
yeah. I mean, just from someone who's known you for the last, 2 years?
Yeah.
From there to here, I mean, you're definitely a completely different version of yourself. You're the next level version.
Yeah, next level version. I was chronic illness and pain me when we met, and she is a very real character, but she is no longer the dominant character in my life. And for that, I'm very grateful, because when you lead your life from a place of, am I going to be sick today? Is today the day that, like, it's, you know, it's going to send me to the hospital, like I'm going to eat a handful of something and my body's just going to be like, no, to come to this place where I'm not actively looking at my body anymore like it's failing. I look at it like it went through something and it's been healing all this time. And, you know, how dare I look at it and go, oh, you're having a bad day. What the hell is wrong with you? Get your act together. You know, this body's been through a lot. Yeah. And I think that cleared up a lot of things for me over the last 2 years, mentally and emotionally. And it made me a better person.
Mm. And I love that our conversation kind of just transitioned into this, because we're talking about gratitude, man.
Gratitude. Yeah. Yeah. We didn't even start with that because I was like, am I allowed to say what we're doing? it's your show. It's the theme of the day. No, the theme of the day is gratitude. And I really enjoyed, I mean, I know this is only our separate second episode, but last month I spent quite a bit of time really focusing on intention, and really helped me kind of solidify what that meant to me. And then this month I spent quite a bit of time pouring myself into gratitude and what that means to me and how I bring more of it in my life. And I feel like I'm walking away today, you know, 25, 30 days after we started this particular idea, like more grateful than I was the day we started. And I already considered myself a pretty grateful person. I mean, I'm on the grateful train. I listened to the Abraham Hicks. I got the morning gratitude bursts. I got the, you know, mm-hmm. We're just saying it's hard to be hateful when you're feeling grateful. So, you know.
We're quoting it.
Quote, it's hard to feel hateful. Hard to be hateful when you're feeling grateful. I don't know where it came from, but it's actually one of the quotes that sticks with me, because when I slip into that, like, you know, you're fine when you leave home, but you get out in the world and all of a sudden you're a shit show.
Yeah.
You're like pissed at everyone. I just come back. It like pops in my head. It's like, okay, got a little bit hateful in you. Let's find a little bit of grateful.
I love that. It's such a southern way. It's such a southern way of saying it. I love it. No, it's true. It's true. Because I think, I mean, I am by no means, like, I am so human, it's scary. And there are points in my life where, you know, I get into that funk. I get out of the vortex, if you're an Abraham Hicks listener. And, you know, I get out of alignment with myself and I get into resistance and everything like that. But, you know, gratitude has been like that tool for me when I find myself in those circumstances where I'm just not living my best life, that bring me out of it and quickly. Yeah.
Oh, really quickly. I think for me, it was 4 years into a really hard, like, chronic health struggle. And my functional medicine doctor during one visit was like, I'd really like you to try something for the next 30 days. Every night when you put your head on the pillow before you go to sleep, I just want you to think to yourself or even say out loud, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm whole. And she was like, even if you don't believe it, say it right before you fall asleep and right when you wake up every day, every day. And I almost was like, this is not what I pay you for. I wasn't like 20 minutes here. I got 20 minutes. This is what you want me to do? What? But what was really kind of interesting was a few weeks later, I went to see John Edwards. I don't know if you know who he is, but he is a psychic. He was in Nashville. And I had just always, like, in my early 20s, been drawn to him. He was on TV. It was still kind of all new, like, especially in the South. I'd never seen anybody like that. But we went up there and he did this exercise at the end of his show. And it was basically like everyone was to sit there and close their eyes and hold their palms out and imagine just energy, like, circulating in the palm of your hands, and tell that energy, I am happy, I am healthy, and I'm whole. Wow. And it was that moment, I was like, what the fuck? And I'm like sitting there and my husband's eyes popped and he just went along for moral support. You know, he's like Joe Cool. But even his eyes, he's like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? I was like, oh my God. Okay. And so then I went home. I was like, okay, well, if I think those things and that can work, and, you know, I did it like with conviction for a few weeks and started to get better, feeling more like grateful, more like myself every day, more happier. Then it turned to, I don't need to just say I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm whole. Maybe I just say, I'm so grateful for that hug that my son gave me today in that moment when he was really frustrated. Like, he just stopped and he gave me this hug and I'm super grateful for that moment. Or I'm grateful for the fact that, you know, when I roll over in the morning, my husband tells me good morning. So then it swapped and it became like this gratitude practice and it invigorated me even more. Mm. And it was like, I didn't care if something good was coming or not that day, because for me, everything was always good at that point, with that starting the day in that like frame of mind and finishing the day in that frame of mind. Just, I'm happy for what's here, and I'm happy for what's here and now, and I'm happy for this moment, and I'm happy for the body, and I'm happy for these people. And it's just like, when you're focused on gratitude in that way, it's contagious.
It really is. Like,
you know, you could walk in a room in a pissed off mood and piss off everybody, make mm-hmm. everyone uncomfortable. But you could also walk into a room that is a divisive room when you get there and be the voice of gratitude and kindness, and you can change the whole tone of a room.
You really can. You yeah. really can. And, you know, I think that people, I mean, I've seen it within my own work and everything, and I think people will do the gratitude rampage and say, I'm grateful for this, I'm grateful for that, I'm grateful for my garden, my pool, my bed, my this and that, but they don't feel like, they'll say it and they're like, I'm doing the gratitude rampage, but I'm not really feeling grateful.
Yeah.
And that's because you're not feeling into it. You're not feeling into the gratitude of that warm mug, of holding that cup of that first cup of coffee. You're not feeling into it. You're just listing it. There's a huge difference.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when we were looking for a house, I'm going to use this example, because there's emotions that are markable in our life. And mm-hmm. when they happen to you, take note, because then in other times when you're having a hard time recalling them, you can kind of tap into them through a memory. Mm-hmm. But I remember when we were looking for houses, and I was just so discouraged because we couldn't find anything. I was becoming pretty negative about it. Like, everything we saw just didn't feel like us, and I couldn't envision myself there. You know, it just felt wrong. And when I turned down the road that this house is on, it was like this instantaneous feeling of just calm, like total calm. That I was like, oh, I'm just like relaxed. Almost felt like, I was telling people, it's almost like your battery starts recharging. Mm. Like when you come here. And I realized that feeling that we associate with home, or a genuine hug from your kids or your spouse, that, you know, one of those that just kind of lingers for a minute and you're like, oh
yeah,
they're really into this right now. Like, we are connecting. That's the markable moment. Mm. Gratitude feels the same way. It makes you smile without you even realizing it. It's like, you know, it's like, I'm really grateful that my dog was like snuggling up with me today and looks at me like I hung the moon. Like, it could be anything. You'd be grateful for a pair of shoes. You know, yeah. You didn't have them, you wanted them. You really worked hard to earn the money to get them. And then they're there and look at you holding them in your hands and you're so fucking grateful.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but it is, it's a feeling. It's not just something you say. I think you start that way. If you have a really hard time visualizing, I'm a pretty stubborn visualizer. Like, it's really hard. It was hard for me to kind of get over that mental kind of ego trip of, oh my God, you're just saying it in your head. Hello. I'm happy. Are you? That was like the sound. I'm happy. I'm healthy. Oh yeah. No, we all know we've got, like, you know, multiple folders on that situation. So in the beginning, yes, it was like a, I am happy, I am healthy, I am whole. But then I started realizing that through saying them, that voice got quieter and quieter. And then the feelings kicked in. And it wasn't just saying them anymore. It was like, genuinely, when I think about this, it makes me smile. And it yeah. makes me like feel good in here. You know, it's like coming home.
Mm. I think something too is, you might not want to hear it, but even on the worst fucking days of your life, when you are about to go to bed and you are just miserable, you are angry, you're resentful, you are just having the shittiest day, there's still at least one thing to be grateful for.
Oh, yeah. Those are actually the days you need it the most.
Yeah.
Like, it really seriously.
Is. Yeah.
My grandfather passed away this time last year, and it was kind of like a drawn out thing because there was a medical event and there was a period of time in between the event and the passing. And those, that period of time was really hard, and it was hard to be grateful. It was really hard to find anything that I felt like meant something, because everything felt so trivial. But I could, and I did. And on the days I didn't want to do it, I did twice as many. I said six instead of three, because I knew that it was really important. I get emotional when I talk about it. It was important, and it was important that I remind my heart that was breaking and my human that it's okay. We could still be happy in this moment. Like, that's why we're here. I'm crying. Yeah. Why do you make me cry?
I'm not making you cry.
Wait, it's like, oh, yeah. Who is the, there's like interviewers that people are always like, oh man, whenever you talk to them, you're bound to cry. It happens to me every time. I'm like, you make me feel things. It's all right. No,
it's okay. It's what I'm supposed to do. It's who I am. For me, you know, first and foremost, I do want to state this. You know, Meg is an amazing part of Intuitive Life Society, and her grandfather has shown up in more ways than one through mediumship circles and events, and has been such a guiding light. And, you know, if anything, if we can take, you know, what Meg has overcome, you know, last year with the passing of her grandfather, and then being able to witness him just continuously come back, continuously reach out to her through different mediums and different forces. The only thing that we can say right now is trust us, you know, they're with you.
Oh man. I was actually, so my grandfather that passed, I'm adopted. I was adopted 2 days old, short story, didn't know my biological family till I was almost 40, and actually didn't meet my cousin until after his passing. And I think it's kind of what he always wanted. We were the only girls, and turns out like we're very much alike and we've become very good friends. And, you know, I was just telling her, I was like, he shows up in ways now that he couldn't, you know, in his physical form. And it's a relationship still, it's just different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like relationships with people often go through seasons and different chapters, and people change and people move. And it's not that that relationship ends, it just carries on in a different way. And that's what happened. It never really ended. It never stopped. And it, what was really beautiful was it wasn't just me or the people in ILS that were noticing, it was everyone around us. And I come from a really, like, they're all pretty religious people, but there like came a point where I was just like, he is just proving like he's here.
Time and time again.
He is like a father's love from the grave for his kids and his grandkids. Like, he's like, you will know I am still here.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's just the thing is, I think I often forget as a medium that people don't see, you know, the passing of someone that we love the way I see it and the way I experience life. So I just wanted to kind of put that reminder out there that, like, trust me when I tell you they're listening. Trust me when I tell you, when you get that smell of their perfume or their cologne, it's them.
Or you cook their recipes.
You cook their recipes and you invite them in to your intention kitchen. They're there.
All the time. I mean, I think for every family member or friend of mine that has ever passed, and you and I were actually discussing earlier today, I actually have quite a few people in my life that have passed. But there's entire dinner menus that I can make when I'm thinking of those people. And no one else has to know why I'm cooking that particular dish or that particular cake. You made my grandfather's cake last weekend.
It was delicious.
Oh, he was such a good baker. But you know, no one has to know. Mm-hmm. But for me, it's a way of like sending out into the universe or whatever to let them know that I am still like celebrating them and keeping them close and keeping them with me and keeping their spirit very much alive here. And I think it invites them in a way that, you know, on a day-to-day basis that sometimes people only experience like once or twice a year in the holiday season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's something that I actually put into the ILS newsletter was, you know, when you're cooking those passed down recipes, your grandmother's stuffing or turnips. Oh, I hate turnips, but that's just came up. Yeah. But, you know, those recipes that have been handed down, and you're, you know, sweating in your kitchen on Wednesday or days before Thanksgiving, why not take a picture of your grandmother or your aunt or someone who's passed their recipe and place it in the kitchen with you and light a tea light?
Yeah, I have little tea lights that I pull out and I just put them out in my windows when I'm really like just missing someone. I'll even write their name on the little glass votive and, you know, we'll just, the kids think it's cool. Like my son likes to light them in the morning and we definitely do that. You know, we also, I think playing music that people loved and, and we do it in the kitchen. We do it while we prepare meals or while we eat meals. You know, that is another way that I think like, it's just invites your loved ones to come back and to be with you and to celebrate, you know?
Yeah, it really, really does. And, you know, as expensive and as stressful as it is, and we've spoken about this, I don't know, on the podcast or, you know, just in conversation, you know, that Wednesday before Thanksgiving, my kids always have a half day and it's always really super stressful because it's like I have at least 3 to 4 recipes that I have to start prepping for, brining the turkey and stuff. But it's always something that I look forward to.
Yeah. It's, we did, we talked about this actually in the first Intention Kitchen episode because I was just looking at it yesterday so people can go back and check that out. We were talking about how, you know, in cities and countries and all over the world, really, all different times of the year, people celebrate these traditions through these rituals, for lack of a better term, that we do. And a lot of them are quite laborious and cause a lot of dishes and a lot of stress. But you can, it's like, that entire day, I think people are there, like even some of the shopping and the planning, and they think about, okay, my grandmother always made this cranberry sauce this way. So I have to get these cranberries and get this orange. And she always liked this particular orange and she would juice it. And like, if I don't have this cranberry sauce, it doesn't feel like my grandmother's there. She's still there. But it's even cooler that you made her cranberry sauce because she's like, look at them bringing me to the table. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? You know, I mean, I think in the, if you think of Day of the Dead, which is in a few weeks, I'm not sure when I'm doing this, but you know, it comes in November. I mean, they're putting offerings on altars, for their loved ones of things that they love to eat and drink and do in their life here on earth in hopes that it, that one day of the year, those few days of the year, they can come and be closer to them in spirit. And I think it's beautiful. We do the same thing. We just don't call it that. We call it Thanksgiving and a Christmas feast, if you will.
Yeah. And so many times
on Easter, like we feast
on Easter.
We're like, this is important. Let's feast. We eat McDonald's the rest of the year, but we're going to feast today.
Oh my gosh. And you know, I think we're all guilty of this from time to time. When we think of Thanksgiving, you know, I'm going to be fucking real. Sometimes there are family members that are difficult people and we are having to spend 8, 10, 12, 16 hours of a long weekend with them because of obligation or just because of, you know, blood relation or something along those lines. And, it's hard. And I just want to, you know, extend an invite to go and listen to my episode with dealing with difficult people. It gives you a couple tips regarding dealing with difficult people that might help. But something that I have incorporated into my holiday routine as an empath is something that when I get a passive aggressive remark, because I always do, or when politics come up in conversation or religion comes up in conversation or someone, you know, comes and tries to ask me, what do I exactly do for a living? We all know what I do for a living. We all know what I do for a living. Okay. Can we not talk about it? I do my best. That's what I do. That's what I do for a living. I do my best. I try my absolute hardest to look at them and I say in my head, while they're giving me that passive aggressive remark, while they're making me feel uncomfortable, I love and accept you exactly as you are in this moment.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do, by the way.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. I was, you know, I read these Oren books, Oren and the Ben. They're like channeled books, Sanaya Roman, incredible. But there is a chapter that I was reading recently that was talking about redefining your own thoughts. And so when that person is coming at you, no, you saying, don't say that about me. That's not the kind thing to make me feel very good. You know, that's not going to help diffuse the situation. But you internally restructuring the thought that comes after it and mm-hmm. sending it out to them, just being like, I love you, you stupid idiot.
That's what you have to do. I don't want to waste energy trying to ignite a fire. I'm not one to put more kindling on the fire. It's like, it's not worth it. You can only lead a horse to water. And unfortunately, if you're listening to this podcast, you might be in a situation where you're the only one waking up. So yeah. You're going to have these circumstances come during the holidays or whenever. And it's not our job as light workers, as healers, as psychics, or whatever we want to call ourselves, to change someone's belief system.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to say that it doesn't make you less of a person or less of a spiritual person to have a negative feeling about what those people are saying.
Right.
That's your human, mm-hmm. and that's okay. Sometimes our family members are exactly who we need to shine a light on our shadows. Oh, so know that sometimes they are the only way we see it. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, sometimes those people really trigger us because they show us things we don't like about ourselves. Like that's for me.
It's not just for you. It's
not just for I'm you. Just saying for me personally, this is like how I see it. Mm-hmm. You know, I have things I do that make me feel more comfortable going into a day like that. I do like prep work.
All the salt energetic bath. Prep. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Energetic prep work. And I literally like up to a week, I'm like, it's okay. This is going to be great. I'm going to like segment and tend the fuck out of this Thanksgiving dinner. And it's going to be awesome. And nobody's going to talk about politics. No. But, you know, I have in the past few years, some of those boundaries I was talking about earlier, set some very clear boundaries with my relatives and my friends. Like, I will not talk about XYZ anymore with you. I will not. It is clear we are different people. We're still talking because we love one another. We're just have very different, fundamentally different core belief systems. And that's okay. Right. We can still be in the same place. We can still love each other. We can still believe in different things and still love each other.
Right.
Right. So, you know, that 2021, I mean, that like shined a lot of light on that for me, you know, is just like realizing how different I was from everybody else I knew. And all the different ways that even just if you're talking about Thanksgiving dinners, that I would try to like for weeks before, like psych myself up into, if I just act this way and I don't say this thing and I wear this thing and I have my hair this way and I mean, everybody's going to get along. Everybody's going to like me. Everybody likes me. It's fine. We get along. It's fine. They just don't understand me, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So, if you are, you know, sitting here like feeling anxious about, you know, the next coming weeks and having to go and stay with family, go ahead and check out that episode. I'll have the actual episode number in the show notes for you. But again, I think the easiest thing is like, going in, obviously grounded and protected, and when someone's going to say a remark, you just say, and you just nod, and you say inside your head, I love and accept you exactly how you are in this moment. I am so fucking grateful for you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to shine light upon my shadow.
And think about how cool it'll be on that drive home. When you realize that this year was the year you finally didn't cause a shit show. Right. You know what I mean? Because usually like I will just get so frustrated that I say something that's like, just like my dad's like, why are you being a butt? And I'm like, oh God, I don't mean to be a butt. I don't. But the fact that you need to tell me I'm being a butt means I'm being a butt. And so now like I wage a good holiday by, Meg, wasn't a butt. I didn't, nobody felt triggered to tell me I was a butt. And really, when I'm a butt, that's just because I'm trying to protect myself and I'm trying to like feel better because nobody gets me, you know, and, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's like, fine. That's okay too. And I like me, I get me. My husband gets me. My friends get me. Like, I'm surrounded by people that get me. Not everybody has to. And that's okay. And I'm grateful for that healing because I did not have that for years.
Neither did I. I'm the certified black sheep of the family. Trust me when I tell you, like, I get it. I totally get it. But the greatest thing that you can do as an empath, because I know we have a lot of empaths listening and everything like that, when it comes to families and feeling discouraged because they just think a certain way and they're so hard-headed and you never see eye to eye, is unfortunately realizing that they are exactly where they need to be in their timeline and in their life.
And so are you.
And so are you. But it is not your job to shine light. It's not your job to try to fix anybody but yourself.
You're just supposed to be the light. You don't have to shine the light to clear the way for all the other people. Just be the light.
Right.
You that you want everybody else to be. Like that's the thing. It's like we spend so much time trying to make everybody else see us how we want them to see us or be who we think they want us to be or whatever, but just spend that time learning to care about yourself. Learning to be comfortable with you. And then it's okay that those other people have those thoughts or whatever. Those don't bother you anymore. They're allowed to have those. But know that you're both part of each other's journey. You're both part of each other's experience. Whether they're awake and, you know, you're awake and they're not. You're both in the right place at the right time. And you're supposed to be here to learn from one another.
And, you know, it's, I want to also, before our break, I do want to just state this, that one of the most profound books of my life is called Seat of the Soul by Gary Zukav. And this is one of those, you know, it's kind of like The Power of Now for me. It's just one of the most powerful books and it is channeled. So it's a very dense informational book. So I only did one chapter at a time. I'm just saying that. But when I started to understand the soul's journey and soul groups and everything, you know, we chose to be in this family because this opportunity, this life, this family is going to give us the most exposure to the growth that we are supposed to go through in this lifetime. And when you see it like that, when you see it from the soul's perspective, you start to understand like, well, fuck, man, I'm supposed to learn a lot.
a lot. And shocker, a lot of it is how to like you. Like, how to be okay with you. Because like the greatest thing you could ever do for yourself is spend a little time alone with yourself.
It really is.
I mean, digging into those areas that make you feel not so great. Because I was just telling somebody today, the only way to get around it is to go through it. It's going to keep coming back. It's going to keep popping up. It's going to keep, like, you know, these interactions with people that trigger you, like this, you know, relative or whatever, they're going to keep happening until you work on the thing that bothers you about it. And then you don't have that energy behind it anymore. And so therefore, when it happens, it doesn't bother you, or it just doesn't happen anymore because you learned the lesson. You're on to the next annoying lesson. They're all annoying. I got 43 years on earth to tell you, they're all annoying. And just when you're like, I'm an adult, the universe is like, no, you're not. Did you think you learned everything? Oh, wait.
No, that's really how my 2021 has been. It's like 1 month, another lesson, the next month, another lesson. And you think that you've learned enough. And then it's like, oh, do you really think you're done with this shit?
And it's really funny to me because you sat in on my human design reading and it was one of those things, like Rachel said, you have the ability to like just see when something's out of order, like to see the flaw. And I'm like, I can always do that. I can literally like look at a situation of somebody, some not my own, or unfortunately, don't word it that way. But other people can, like, I can see a circumstance or I can see what they're struggling with, and I can clearly see. I'm like, oh, I understand what that is. Like, I see where, like, if you just took this path or you went this way, like how this could work out for you and you could clear this up. But I can't do that for other people. It's not my job to do that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times it's
probably so hard for you.
It's so hard, but you know, I want to say that 90% of the time it's when people are struggling with something and they call me or they talk to me or they're like rattling off about these things that keep coming up. It's like cyclical patterns of the same exact situation. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? It's like the same exact trigger coming up over and over and over, just with different players.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how don't you can't see it.
Okay. No, it's, that's just the thing. And that's why, you know, I truly believe coaching is such a profound way to transform your life, because the coach is able to see it and the coach is able to ask you the questions to get through that.
Oh man. A lot of coaching is like deep emotional work. I mean, it's like, it's like therapy. Mm.
It is. It really is. It's incredible.
But it's good. I mean, look, it's my functional medicine doctor. Sometimes we're not talking about my physical ailments. Sometimes we're talking about emotional trauma. We're talking about mm-hmm. things that like I've stored. And that cause, you know, chronic symptoms for other illnesses that I have to flare, because let's be real, emotions are as very real and can cause as much harm, as anything else, you know, a car accident, mm-hmm. it's, you know, trauma we can see, emotional trauma we carry with us and we hide it in places where no one else sees it, but it haunts us. And it is like a cancer. And we store it. We store it in our organs. We store it in our muscles. We store it in our bones. We store it in our body. And, you know.
It's just crazy, because I just had a coaching call where this was like the topic that we really discovered. So it's like we're psychic or something.
I mean, it's
Jesus
like
Christ.
Holy Christ.
Yeah.
Same chain
we're on the same vibe, man. Jeez. Okay. So we're going to go on a quick break. And when we come back, Meg is going to share with us a delicious recipe for a dark and stormy.
A dark and stormy, because as you said, 2020 and 2021 were really dark and stormy. So we're going to create a cocktail recipe that uses an ingredient of the season that brings in gratitude, all the vibrations of gratitude. And we're going to acknowledge the dark and stormy weather, but we're going to like smother it in gratitude and love and hope for the new year.
Love it. We'll see you soon. Okay, we're back. I'm really excited about this.
I'm very excited about this. This is going to be fun. Oh my God. So we have logged in my YouTube audience on your podcast for the second half for cooking. Awesome. I'm so excited. So if you're here on YouTube and you want to hear our entire discussion about gratitude and how to bring more gratitude into the season and into the holidays and maybe how to deal with some difficult people, they should go listen to the first half of the podcast.
They should. Intuitive Souls Podcast.
And then now we're going to make a cocktail for the season, because I like to have a cocktail on hand when my family comes over.
Just one? Just one cocktail?
Well, a bevy of cocktails, but yes. I like to have like a specific recipe on hand. I am one of those people too that creates menu for the holidays. Like we just talked about this. You like spend so much time creating the menu, and maybe you make like the potatoes that Uncle Bob loves, and you make grandfather's cake, and you know, even though he passed away 5 years ago and nobody eats the fudge, but Aunt Nana used to make every year, but somebody always brings it because, you know, whatever. I am usually always like, I'll bring the cocktail to the big family event, because it's kind of like, and you can make this a mocktail too. So if somebody's like, oh, I'm not interested because I don't drink, you can absolutely make this non-alcoholic too. And I'll talk you through that. But I like to set the tone of the entire gathering. And usually cocktails come, everybody comes in and the adults get a cocktail. The kids get like some little fun little, little drink that you can make them. You can make the mocktail version. And I like to make sure that the ingredients that I use in that little first sipper for the adult version with the alcohol, I call it an elixir, not even a cocktail. I'm like, oh, this will make you feel good. Aunt Sally will be a whole lot more palatable on the other side of the couch after you drink this. But it's just like, it kind of like is that that first sip that, you know, you drink it and it's kind of warming, this drink will warm you up. And it's just as kind of like the rum starts to kick in and the cocktail, you kind of let loose a little bit. And some of those inhibitions and maybe some of that stress that you've had building up over the last few months about the gathering itself and about your aunt saying that triggering thing she does every year, or what do you do again? I would like to have a discussion about how that conversation goes one day when people ask you, what exactly is it you do again, Erica? But I can hear it in my head. But I bet for weeks, like, you're like, oh, fuck. Aunt JoJo's going to say that to me, and then it's going to... So, like, I feel like by the time people get to the gathering, they need a drink.
They do.
I make this cocktail. All right, so our key ingredient for the season, this episode, is cranberries. Number one, cranberries are readily available in the fall for most of our festival seasons and most of the Thanksgiving and Christmas and Yule, all of those things. Cranberries are there. And cranberries stand for gratitude, abundance, courage, and rejuvenation. So they're a great starting point for a cocktail. So what we're going to do you make your own cranberry sauce, Erica?
No.
No. Okay. You don't have to.
I'm going to be honest. I don't
want you to.
I'll try. If it's going to give me a dark and stormy, I'll try to make it.
No, you know what I did today? I bought the kind in the can just to show you it works.
So, okay, that too. Yeah.
I was just asking if you made your own, because you said you did the prep, and sometimes, you know, people have to.
You know, I was never on cranberry sauce duty. I always did the turkey, the brined, a vegetable, a couple of desserts. I don't think anybody has ever made the cranberry sauce. It's always been jarred.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to stick with the jarred theme because that's super easy. So here's what I want you to know about cranberry sauce. I'm using the jellied version today just because it's readily available in the store almost year round, actually. They just kind of hide it on the bottom shelves. But you could use your grandmother's version, cranberry relish. Like, I know some people do like a relish, not a cooked down version. Mm-hmm. You can use any version of cranberry sauce for this. So that's another reason this recipe is really great for this cocktail, because you already have the ingredients. And most people, like, cranberry sauce is one of those things that you wind up throwing some of it away, because it's like, who eats all the damn cranberry sauce? But this year you might.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to eat it.
You're going to drink it.
I'm going to drink it.
So if you are not a cranberry fan, but you do want to bring, the energies and the properties of cranberry into your home, there's another holiday tradition that people do that brings the properties of cranberry into the season and helps you hone into them and kind of really focus on them. And that is when people string cranberries for their Christmas tree. Have you ever seen that, when they string one thread?
Yeah, and popcorn, right?
Popcorn. You can do that too. If you want to turn that act of stringing the cranberries with the needle and thread and use them in your tree or any of your seasonal decorations, what you can do is, as you're stringing them, each bead of cranberry is a token of gratitude. So as you're stringing them, you know, think with each bead, I'm grateful for my dog. I'm grateful for, and think of the whole year. Like, what were all the things, big and small, that came in while you make that garland that's going to sit on that tree for you to see
the entire season? Oh, I love that.
So yeah, it's a really simple way. And then if you want an easier way, if I know a lot of the people here probably probably have an altar space or some kind of spiritual space in their home that means a lot to them, you can absolutely pop in a cranberry a day. A fresh cranberry. And every day, just as you start your day with that cranberry, just think about something you're super grateful for and set that cranberry into a little bowl on your altar and just collect them over the season, and they can be there. And as you see that bowl grow and fill on your altar space over the holiday season, you'll realize the magnitude of all the things that you have gratitude for. And the cranberries won't go bad. So.
Oh my gosh.
And I don't know if you know this, but fresh cranberries that you can get this time of year that are hard to find other times of year, you can absolutely buy them right now and pop them in your freezer, and they'll be good next season. So you can extend cranberry season. I know. It's exciting.
So for anybody who is listening on the podcast right now, Meg has just juiced an orange.
Mm-hmm. I did like 1.5. It comes out to be about 2 ounces of freshly squeezed orange juice. You could use mandarin's juice, blood orange juice, caracara orange juice, navel orange juice from a jug. Orange juice. And it's going to go right in there. Nothing hard. And then this is rum. I put 2 ounces, but you could go 1 ounce or 1.5 ounces. I like the spiced rum. And let me tell you about spiced rum. Have you ever had it?
I have.
Okay. So you might notice that there's like a warming sensation that happens when you sip on anything with spiced rum. And what that is it's the spices that are in there. So spiced rum is actually made with a combination of vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg, and I believe cloves are in there too. And so there's all these great ingredients with all these incredible properties. I mean, I think we talked last time that cloves symbolize their symbolic meaning. They symbolize the evil eye. So they're a great protective ingredient that have the energies of protection.
Okay. So what you're saying is that this dark and stormy has the ability to protect you at family gatherings from Malocchio, also known as the evil eye.
So vanilla is symbolic of love and friendship. So for me, it's really important to have that in there when you're approaching these situations with people that you love. You want to maintain those relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And then clove, like I said, it's perfect. It's a representation of the evil eye. And it's also a really great ally during transformative periods of your life. So I would say that we're all going through a transformation right now. And so it's just a good ingredient to kind of keep in your back pocket. Cinnamon is great for protection and prosperity, which I think is things we wish for everyone that we love. And nutmeg is good luck while traveling. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. That's what it's used for. People put them in their pocket when they go on trips.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like you've got family members or you're traveling or family members come to your house, like you want to send them off with good luck. So the spice rum in there is in there for a reason. Yes, it's traditional dark and stormy alcohol, but it has lots and lots of properties to it. Okay. So all I did for the podcast listeners is I whisked together the cranberry sauce. Remember, it was the jelly version, but Erica, you can see now it's liquid.
It is liquid.
Yeah. I mixed it with the orange juice, the fresh orange juice and the rum. So right now I have about a half a cup of liquid in a measuring glass. And you can absolutely do this part in bulk. Like if you want to make a bunch of cocktails in advance, you know, make a pitcher of this and then let everybody else kind of mix it later. Mm. But here's what we're going to do. I got to put some ice in this cup. Give me 2 seconds. I had to get some ice, you know, because gotta have ice for the cocktail.
So what I'm thinking right now is this is almost a really good thing for a punch.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, and actually throwing in some orange wedges and some of those fresh cranberries.
Absolutely. You could throw in some orange wheels. We're gonna try not to make a mess. I'm known for making messes though. But you see what I'm doing? I'm just straining. So right now I'm using, we're going to get smarter about this. Right now I'm using a sieve or a strainer to strain the cocktail ingredients because I don't want to get any seeds from the orange or lumpy bits of the cranberry sauce in the cocktail. Sometimes when people make cranberry sauce, they actually use whole cranberries and they just kind of burst in there. So this will make sure that you don't get any of the seeds or anything down in your cocktail. But you could do it through this step, strain it out to where you have the liquid, and then put it in a punch on the table, put it in like a pitcher on the table with just some ginger beer on the side, some ice. Let me move this out of the way. So Erica, see here, this is just a beautiful color.
It is a beautiful color. It goes perfectly with your shirt.
It does. I wore this cranberry colored shirt for the season, you know. But so this is basically the base of the drink. And then what I do, and I know you don't like ginger beer, so I'm going to give you some more options. I top mine with ginger beer. Ginger has the properties of abundance and prosperity. So in the mantra for ginger, when you're looking at plants as a whole, I have these really great cards right here. And this one is the one for ginger. I don't know if you can see it, but it says the mantra for ginger is I am safe and secure and have more than I need, which is beautiful. So, and I feel like that's the theme for me. That's what I want all my relatives to take away from a holiday sent with me, is that they're happy, they're whole, and they're safe and secure, and they have exactly what they need.
Love that.
It's dark and stormy, but with gratitude and abundance wrapped inside to help you weather the stormy seas.
Exactly. I love that.
Oh, good. And for what it's worth, so if you don't like the ginger, you could do like a vanilla cream soda. That would probably be this. Ooh. Yeah. Play on the vanilla in that rum, or do a Sprite, or even like a sparkling fizzy water is fine. To make a mocktail for kids, just omit the rum and add extra orange juice or extra cranberry sauce. And it just makes it like a really fun festive soda for them. But you've infused it with all sorts of ingredients that have meaning and purpose. And they just think it's fun and delicious.
It is fun and delicious. The color is just beautiful. I want to give you the one. Color is really beautiful.
I mean, and I like this because it also keeps the little flecks of orange in there. And I just find it really beautiful because, you know, when you think about like stormy seas and you think about just life in general, there's just like all this kind of like matter floating around. It's all kind of crazy and chaotic, but there's beauty in the chaos. And seeing all the little flecks of pulp and zest kind of like floating throughout this cranberry elixir is quite beautiful for me. It's like sippable sprinkles in a way.
Sippables. I love that. And then another thing that you can do, just so you know, I'm just like thinking, I love making sure like everything gets used. You can, before you go and you squeeze out that beautiful orange, you can peel it.
You can.
And you can create a simmer pot. If you don't know what a simmer pot is, you can definitely go ahead and check out last month's Intention Kitchen episode, because we go through, and really the best thing about simmer pots is they are customizable.
Yeah. So you could even put whole cranberries. Say you like the idea of this, but you don't drink or you don't want to make a drink. You could take the same ingredients, even the spices and the rum, and add them in a simmer pot. And you can infuse your whole space with all the same properties of these ingredients. You don't have to drink the alcoholic beverage. Although when I'm dealing with some members, I like that little side of things.
Mm-hmm. Do it all. Do it all.
I like when PG Erica comes to the party. So
PGR is a great time. She really is. She's a blast in a glass, I tell you.
She is. And if anybody doesn't know, it's Pinot Grigio Erica. And sometimes she shows up on TikTok.
Oh, God. Don't tell people that.
My favorite thing about a Saturday night. What about
Oh my gosh. Okay, guys. All right, guys. If you want to go and you are more of a visual learner, you can head on over to This Mess Is Ours YouTube and get the full video. And you can be sure to follow Meg on Instagram at This Mess Is Ours. And you can follow me at Intuitive Lifestyle Co., both on TikTok and on Instagram. All right, guys. It was fun. We did a great combo.
Thank you for having me. I always love like sharing space with you. One day we'll do it for real. We'll cheers and we'll be like in person.
Yeah. ILS retreat.
Oh. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, you said that out loud and on tape.
Did I say it? Oh my gosh. I take it back. Okay.
I'll bring the food.
All right, guys. Have a great week and we'll see you soon.
Bye.